You can run, but you can't hide. The Chuck Ocelli Show on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Back at it, and I'll tell you, the second hour, we're going to do something a little different here because, yeah, clearly I have an American voice, that's for sure. And if you don't recognize the accent, that's because it's blended a bit, but we'll get into the regional differences in America another day. Minor little technical glitch there, but I am joined by Jeffrey Matt. And Jeffrey is going to assist me now in getting a perspective slightly north of the border of where I sit geographically. And I do want to get his take on what's gone on here regarding the Canadian trucker situation and the reaction of the Trudeau government. Again, his personal take, and you can take a look at Jeffrey Matt's work at jeffreymatt.com. Matt is spelled M-A-T-T-E, and that's all one word. When it is, they're not attacking his website as they do mine on many occasions. And who is the they? Well, maybe a story for another day. Either way, let's talk about what's going on with our friends to the north of the allegedly united, okay, currently occupied supposed states of what we used to call America. Our Canadian friends, what the Trudeau government did in response to, well, what it is, like I said in the first hour, what we're about to see happen here in the U.S. regarding the People's Convoy. I'm hoping for a different result, but and I'm hoping for exactly what Kip was hoping for in the first hour, and we discussed it already, but enough out of me. Jeffrey Matt, first of all, good to hear from you, and secondly, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Chuck. Thanks for having me on. I'm looking forward to our chat today and covering all these topics together. And I really enjoyed, I was able to get a large chunk of the first hour with the gentleman of the People's Convoy. So that's really encouraging and interesting news. Thank you.
No, I appreciate that. And look, you know, for those of you, if you're hearing this and you can go back, TNT Radio will have the podcast of the first hour up there. And I'd like people to go ahead and get informed about what is going to launch tomorrow, actually, as we speak, on the second, because today is the first here, according to that calendar, allegedly, of March. So on the second, yeah, go ahead and get involved, get informed, for those of you here in this place we used to call America, for sure. But I want to see about, and you and I haven't discussed this, you and I communicate privately sometimes, so I'd like to get your take on what you witnessed in Canada regarding a, well, seemingly similar idea that has certainly inspired people in other places to get involved in the same way. But of course, the Trudeau government did what, well, I wasn't surprised by, but I was, of course, disappointed with. But then again, it's a government and it's Trudeau. So what else did I expect? Enough out of me. Jeffrey Matt, you're a Canadian, so tell me, man, what did you see? What am I not seeing? Tell me.
Well, you know, it's a great question. It's a very important topic. I wasn't actually at the convoy per se. I wasn't involved, but I did observe. And what I did observe are two basic things. The first part is what I would consider the most important part. The Canadian people came together. The ones who understood what was going on came together and chose a mindset, an approach where it's about freedom. It's about doing the right thing. It's for, you know, I heard a lot of things is for the children. And there were families and children who showed up in Ottawa or some others would call O-Town, and it became a parking lot. That parking lot was really something else. But I think the most interesting component for me is how surprised I was to see something like this come out of the ether of the Canadian mindset and to do this. It really, as far as I'm concerned, it set, it provided an example really to many other places on earth, including what we call the United States Incorporated, to sort of jump on the bandwagon and say, you know, we also agree that something's not right. We're not interested in losing our country, our freedoms. And so for me, that was very, very important to actually see the overpasses on the highways where the truckers are coming and, you know, And supposedly it's a Guinness World Record, or at least it's being attempted to be confirmed as that, as the biggest trucker convoy in the history of the world. So to me, it tells me that there are people in Canada who do get it, because the rest of the country, unfortunately, the people of this corporation, Canada's a corporation, unfortunately, and that's something we can go into, is that we don't, my personal opinion varies from what I've learned in school, is that we do not have a nation per se, we have a corporation, and that includes Canada, and it's also for the United States incorporated as well. It's a corporation, it's not a constitutional republic. So, but yeah, that's just a quick overview. And also too, I mean, once it was broken up with the Emergencies Act here in Canada, I think that was in 1988 that it was originally put into place during that era, and it was used for the very first time. Now, the average person who watches the news here in Canada, this sort of like a state-run thing, the CNN of Canada is the CBC, the Canadian Broadcast Corporation. That's the CNN of Canada. There's Global News and there's CTV News. And 90%+ of the people watch that, and they only go with that storyline of what's happening and how things are really unfolding. But from that perspective, it's almost always incomplete. It's almost always leaving out critical information to really get a feel of what's actually happening. And you're only presented the information that, well, the people who run the show want you to get. And so there's a huge segment of the Canadian population who are just a lot of people mean well, but they're wearing the masks and they're 6 foot apart and they're getting the injections because they want to be part of the solution, and they don't know that there's an alternative to just what the television tells them, that there is science out there that contradicts that it's perfect. One solution fixes everything. There's nothing else. And if you ask a question about a possible other solution, you're in deep trouble as a person, as an individual, and your future is going to be cut down if you start asking questions. But here in the realm of freedom of speech, where we can discuss these kinds of topics, then that small spectrum of people in Canada who took the courage, I mean, because it takes a lot of personal inner courage to drive across the nation or from whatever part you're in, and then to show up and say, we don't want these, we want freedom, we don't want the mandates, we don't want the passport technology, because really what that is the technological precursor to the social credit system for North America, not just Canada, but for really the whole world. And it was a beta run in China. So I know it gets a big blurb there of information, Chuck. Is there any part you want to sort of delve into?
Yeah, actually what I'd like to do is make a contrast here between what has gone on in the U.S. I mean, after all, the agendas all come together, the same way. They just implement them at different speeds, okay? But there was a serious lack of continuity regarding the masks, the mandates, the shots, all of that. I mean, a lot of people in other parts of the world, they think that the U.S. was all, in one direction at one time on this, regardless of what the powers that should not be had to say about it. And it wasn't true. Regionally, we have very serious differences here, and people reacted and pushed back at different rates over different reasons, and all that. I'm curious, though, because it seems to me like Canada universally had actions going on, but perhaps I'm uninformed here, that there might have been different areas of the country that acted differently in this case. Also, for the record, I think that the CBC could be differentiated from CNN in that, well, CNN is allegedly not state-run media, right? And in the case of the CBC, it's supposed to be, state-run media, I think. So, I mean, I don't expect them to ever allow, any sort of contradiction to the state's narratives as they are presented. I expect them to, at all times, do nothing but, pretty much avoid editorialization that could challenge it. But again, I may have a misunderstanding about what's happening there. So perhaps there is regional differences. I mean, Clearly there are parts of Canada that, you know, they speak a little more of that French Canadian language than they do English, and other parts where that is not the case. I mean, is there a difference between, you know, Ottawa and say British Columbia, or, you know, what's happening in Toronto versus Montreal, et cetera, or was it really all universal and uniform throughout this time where, again, they really implemented a lot of draconian stuff to try and get people to comply, fall into line, and you know, accept the shots and all that, which, frankly, if you just read the documents, you know, the limited documentation that was provided by the people that created it, they said exactly the opposite of the narrative presented here in the U.S., which was that, you know what, you get this, you won't get the virus, it'll prevent it, it'll help you, all these things that they advertised. And you take a look at the data, even from Pfizer, their opening explanation about what it is they were supposed to be developing stated immediately that's not the case. So I didn't even know where they got that from, except, oh, wait a minute, maybe that was the universal narrative that we were all supposed to accept here in the U.S. But as per usual, we're a little less cooperative than the powers that should not be anticipate. So the contrast, was there a difference regionally, geographically, socially, let's say, in the reality, not the social credit system, not the metaverse, not the Twitter sphere, but I mean, in reality on the ground, was there a difference in different parts of Canada at all?
Well, my perspective is this, is that culturally, there are some differences between the East Coast, the West Coast, the prairies. So there are some variations. But at the end of the day, for this particular movement, my gut tells me, and what I've noticed so far, and I understand there's the French Canadian speaking community. It's the same psychology. Nobody wants to be a slave. Nobody wants to, you know, lose all your rights and transform from an honor system to a social credit system where you have to prove everything up front, and if you don't, you're finished. Honor system means, you know, we're going to take, basically it's what you and I grew up in. And so when it comes to this particular thing, my gut feeling is that there isn't a difference culturally. There's all kinds of arguments that could be made and points that could be made. Well, in Quebec it's this way and we have a different, you know, perspective. But it's hard to have a different perspective when you're about to lose everything. Either you want to lose everything or you don't. And the people who are underinformed doesn't mean they're not smart, doesn't mean they're not educated, doesn't mean they don't have something going for them. They're just not informed. When they come across someone saying it's about freedom, there's a major disconnect because they're only accessing the mainstream. So they don't know. And then they don't want to do their own homework. And if they do want to do homework, it's the most that they'll do is they'll say, well, let's fact check it on Google. And they'll go fact check it, and that's it. Well, the fact check says is everything you say is wrong. The only thing that's correct is what the state-run broadcasting, Canadian Broadcasting Corporation has to say, and its affiliates. So I think from the Freedom Convoy, I think the people's will is understood. It's unified. And it's moving in a direction where, you know, we're trying to send a clear message that this is not the Canada that I grew up in. This is not the Canada they grew up in, regardless of what province you're in. And something needs to change. And so, unfortunately, though, the group that's managing all this understands some stuff that the average person doesn't in the street, like I was and have been for almost my entire life, is that we don't have a nation. We have a corporation. Canada is actually a registered on the Securities Exchange Commission in the United States. And you can go find that yourself. Even each province, I think almost all the provinces are registered as corporations too, for, you know, with the Securities Exchange Commission. So, and this is the same for the American side too. You know, if that People's Convoy wants to go out there and give testimony and give stories, you know, he needs to, that gentleman, whoever, you know, he was, he should go on to Dun & Bradstreet website, Dun & Bradstreet. That's a website you can look up corporations. He should look up government of the United States and find that as a corporation, ask himself the question, and share the story. Is the Constitution, is the Bill of Rights, is that part of the, you know, the company filings in 1787? And so, but, you know, going back to Canada, that's really the issue, is that people who are fighting for this freedom convoy, they're not understanding that the problem is that the psychology is that it's our nation and we want it back. It's actually, my perspective is the other way around. We don't have a nation. We have a corporation, and we're realizing we never had any rights in the beginning. And that's why the convoy was broken up. Everything, the Emergencies Act was used, because we didn't have the right in the first place to do anything. It's just that the psychology and the culture, which I agree and love, about being Canadian, being free, and doing the right thing, and being honest about when it has to do with the greater good for your community, we step up and we chip in, right? So that's just sort of my two cents on that.
No, fair enough, Jeffrey. And that's the thing. I want your perspective on this, because as we're going to come up to a bit of a break here, I want to give people an idea where we're going to go next. And the truth is, I want to get into some of the direct reaction that you were able to witness as just a bystander there in Canada. Because, you know, at first it was like, hey, there's a nuisance here, and we're trying to deal with it, right? You know, this is the way the powers that should not be deal with things. And then the next thing was, all right, since we already have you under the control grid, we're going to take away your insurance. We're going to take away your ability to make a living. We're going to punish you, all right, for disrupting business, because that was what the key is here, right? The blockade of the bridge there coming into the U.S., which was, you know, made a big deal of. I know it's already disappeared down the memory hole for a lot of people, but yeah, what else
though.
Is new?
Not me, though.
No, I know, but that's why I'm going to go and just kind of throw it at you. you know, what is it that that you took away from the government's reaction? And then obviously we're going to go to a little bit of a break and come back and talk to you about a couple other things here with the rest of this hour on the Chuck O'Chelly Show here on TNT Radio. But fact is, I want your perspective. It's not about my opinion. It's about what we can observe and what it is others can help us observe here. So tell me about that reaction and how it changed, it seemed like to me, from, look, this is a nuisance, to, well, these people are literally enemies of the state. And I'm looking at films that, or not films. Wow, that's a dated reference. I'm looking at videos, you know, online filmed by people independently. And I'm seeing hockey games and families and, you know, people attempting to look like they got hit by a truck and failing in their acting classes, apparently, and stuff like that. You know, from a distance, I saw, well, gee, We tried to politely tell them that we have a boot to stomp on them with, and now we're going to show them the boot and break this up. And I could make a lot of Canadian jokes here. I'm not going to. But Jeffrey, help me out here. I mean, what did you see at that time just before we go to break here?
Well, a lot of the stuff that I've observed and noticed is that it just doesn't match with the mainstream saying that, you know, it's terrorism and terrorists and all this stuff, and you're creating, you know, you're bringing down the whole nation. Actually, I saw bouncy castles with children, and I saw a lot of mothers and fathers, eating, sharing, listening to music, dancing. And so for me, it's hard for me to make that leap with the education that I have, that that's a terrorist. It's very difficult for me to make that leap. Now, the person who doesn't look at the alternative, they just like, wow, these people are really nuts. We got to get rid of them. And they just don't know. But I think from what I saw with my own eyes, they knew that they were going to be attacked. And so everybody understood it. And it's not hard in Canada. It's not hard to want to do the right thing. And it's not hard to know that you're bringing your children and driving across Canada for freedom, so we don't have these, you know, we don't lose all our rights, which is basically what's happened. You know, it's just, it doesn't fit. So my understanding is that it's good people made a major sacrifice. I also saw videos of police officers, retired police officers, retired military, stepping up, doing videos, talking truth, truth in the sense that they're saying, hey, if you see an illegal order, you have the right to not follow it. I'm not saying that to the, I'm just repeating what I've heard through videos of testimony of men and women who are either currently serving or have served, and I can tell they're not happy at all, and they know there's something wrong. And so in Canada, there's a big rift, and the rift is very simple. It's so dominated here, and people want to be part of the solution, that everybody went, head first, basically we all slipped on the banana peel of life, not realizing it, but trying to do the right thing, putting on that mask, putting on that second mask, taking all these injections and doing all this and installing apps on your phone and tracking and 6 feet apart and stay home instead of going to see your family on Christmas. They put curfews here in Quebec. I'm in Quebec, Montreal, Quebec. You know, after 9 p.m. or 10 p.m. in the first curfew, if you get caught, it's thousands of dollars of fines, and they are not understanding at all. And so they had another curfew just a few weeks ago until, and then they removed it. But there's a lot of kickback. And the way that the people in Quebec, I can say this, the people in Quebec with the mainstream and the French side, they are speaking to the people of Quebec as if they're infant children. And so it makes me think of a word, a Latin word called parens patriae, P-A-R-E-N-S, patriae. You can go look it up. And basically it just says that the government is your father. So that's how the Quebec government system, and through the mainstream news, speaks to everybody categorically. There isn't really room for debate. It's like someone who's like in their last, in the palliative care with dementia. All we're going to take care of you. Just roll up your sleeve. We'll inject you 3-4 times. Can't leave anywhere. Sign in, sign out, contact trace. And everybody just went with it. And only maybe 100,000.
Well, I got to say, Jeffrey, about all of that is, quite frankly, just like Blind Joe says in his song, I will not comply. It's just that simple. I will say it politely if need be, but this is the way it's going to go. And there are many more like me in a lot of other places. And until we raise up our voices loudly enough, they will not necessarily relent in any way, shape, or form. And neither will we on this show, the Chuck O'Chelly Show. In fact, on TNT Radio, we'll be back after this.
You should hear what Mike Ryan's talking about.
Why would you want, except for that gas field, why would you ever want to invade Ukraine? It sounds like a pretty, without being disrespectful, sounds like a pretty miserable place.
Well, nobody's invading Ukraine. Ukraine fired on the Russian block post this morning, the border post. Mm-hmm. Now, all of this, even the recognition of the republics, LNR and DNR, was a final push to try to get Zelensky back at the table for Minsk agreements. If those aren't going to happen, and that the massive buildup just west of the contact line is going on with increased artillery attacks, soldiers, special operations, Ukrainians, special operations have entered both regions of Donbas, both capital cities, and they're blowing up evacuees. They're setting 200-pound, 200-kilo bombs under bridges that evacuees have to go by. They're blowing up the cars of local leadership. They're attacking more and more civilian structures.
Mike Ryan on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Every 2 minutes, an American is sexually assaulted. The majority of victims know their attacker. It could be your friend, your neighbor, or someone you met at a party. If you said no, it's rape, and it's a crime. This is Christina Ricci with RAIN. Call the National Sexual Assault Hotline today at 1-800-656-HOPE or visit RAIN.org. That's rainn.org.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT, with Chuck Ocelli.
We must be fearless, and we must re-examine at all times, our positions, because this world is completely dominated by misinformation and disinformation from all sides. Contamination of what it is that we believe to be the reality around us is, well, the paramount concern of those that wish to keep us engaged in battling with one another, as opposed to turning our sights on those who are actually responsible for the situation we find ourselves in. Jeffrey Matt is still with me, and glad to have him, that's for sure. Look, Jeffrey, I know I'm asking you a lot of questions, like, tell me, Canadian citizen, what is it that you can tell us about that far-off strange land called Canada? But look, man, we have no choice but to turn to individuals who are not being paid, okay, by people that are writing their scripts, okay, to get at something resembling the reality of everybody's situation. And as far as I'm concerned, again, it doesn't really matter which borders are drawn on a map and what they want to call these different places. We're all part of the human family. We're all part of the same thing, okay? And the subdivisions within it, the compartmentalizations within it, are really just the useful tools of those that seek to control us all. And let us keep that in mind as we go forward. I don't have to tell you this, Jeffrey. I know I don't. But look, there are so many things, so many questions I have about what happened here. The enactment of the Emergencies Act, all that, how quickly the shift was there in real time. And why? Because I want to see if that can be avoided in the future. I mean, the convoy in France did not have good luck. I do know that there are things going on other continents. And I do know that there was an inspiration created there. So I see the positive side of what happened during the Canadian incident, where indeed there was a great deal of disruption. And quite frankly, peaceful disruption of the system. Oh, I know. I don't want to encourage any criminality or anything, but you know what? If you can do it peacefully, I have a hard time objecting. I have a hard time objecting because disruption is only the first step in possibly being heard, possibly changing the equation and getting other people on board with asserting their natural born right, okay, to be able to express themselves and live as free individuals. Because, you know, that was granted to us by virtue of our creation. I don't care if you think God created you or your parents created you or the universe came together in a random equation, and it doesn't matter, okay? By virtue of your creation, natural law, my friends, the law of the universe, you are granted the right to be. And that comes with a lot of things. So, you know, we can talk about the constitutional this and that, the legal, and on, but none of it contradicts the laws that are there in nature, as far as I'm concerned. Other people might see it differently, but anyway, Jeffrey, like I said, I'm just trying to get at the Canadian perspective, what it is a typical, and I know you're not typical either, by the way, but what it is a typical Canadian could observe. And I do mean that as an absolute compliment, because I know I'm a bit of a strange duck myself, but you know, that's why you're my friend. Anyway, back to it though. You know, what are your thoughts about the fact that that might've inspired things despite the fact that it was immediately pushed back on, and what the justification was? I mean, did they really go full tilt, you know, Patriot Act style American? These are terrorists. Did they do that, or am I just missing something here?
First of all, we are friends, and I am, you know, there is an eccentricity in what I do. But I'm a typical Canadian. I'm a typical regular street guy There's nothing different about me and everybody else, because I grew up just like you, just like everybody else, had my life, had my childhood. And so that part is typical. The part that's not typical is I made a decision very early on in my life to learn about how this world works. Why? Because it started with Santa Claus. How come everybody around me is in on the trick, and I'm like 5 years old and I figure out Santa's not real, maybe six. And then ever since then, I've been wondering, like, well, if they're willing to lie to me about Santa, which is harmless, relatively harmless, then what else? And so teachers and bosses and corporations, they never, ever explain you how anything works. They never show you how stuff works unless you're in on the game. And so that, to me, from the Canadian perspective, is that we have to come to terms with the idea of two possibilities. Number one, we don't have our own home. We have a corporation that's being run abroad from abroad, and it's through a corporation. And so that's very difficult for me to resolve. It's taken me years to come to terms with this. But when I found the proof on the Securities Exchange Commission in the United States, that's when I started to ask myself questions, saying, well, do all these people in this convoy understand some of the important critical details when you're trying to send a message to the government that's supposed to serve you because you're paying taxes for it, versus not knowing that and then going there protesting? It gets all broken up and emergencies called. Now the precedent is set. And so now the emergency can go on possibly forever, can be turned on and off like a light switch, because they did it for people, children in bouncy castles in Ottawa. And I understand there are residents who have suffered from maybe the honking. And so my heart goes out to those residents who suffered for that. But that is a small, really, it's a small thing compared to losing everything. You know, not being able to sleep for a week or so versus losing your ability to leave your home in a few years. This is what it's all about. And I think the underpinning of all this, the most important part, is more important than the freedom and everything else, the convoy, is that the social credit system. What is that? It's like your credit bureau. If you pay your bills on time, you get a good score. If you don't pay your bills on time, you get a bad score. Well, now they're going to take that model and they're going to make it everything about you. You said something that the government, your friends, somebody down the street doesn't like. Boom, you've lost points. You can't leave your house. You can't go shopping. You can't do anything. You'll be blacklisted, just like in China. And Chuck and I, we've been talking about this since 2018. We're talking about it. But now that they pushed the vaccine passport technology in all the major stores in Quebec, some provinces, other provinces haven't installed it completely, but most have. That's really what they wanted. They wanted that so that they could get the technology implemented. So later on, when the next crisis comes up that they want, 2 months, 6 months, 2 years, 5 years from now, it's all set into place. And so the underlying point that I'm trying to make here on this very important show is that you are going through the technological rollout of a social credit system, and that this convoy, even though there's some really good people who did this and made their real sacrifice, I don't want everyone to take away this, there's a possibility that it was a setup from the beginning. That also means...
That's the point, though, okay? And I want to tell you the only thing I object to in your whole discussion here. Perhaps Santa Claus is not the harmless thing. And now I'm going to back up my argument. You ready? Here's the deal. If you think about that precedent, which is set through Santa Claus, which, by the way, may have some esoteric aspects that, quite frankly, if a lot of the good, clean, fun-loving Western individuals really knew about the roots of Santa Claus and all that, they might not want to present it to children. just saying. But we're not going to be able to break that down today, Jeffrey. So, but you and I can have esoteric discussions in the future, so don't worry. The idea is, though, that people are given to be delusional based on some cultural things. And that's the problem here. You're saying, oh, they fail to understand. And well, that is by design. Okay. You fail to understand that which is definitely inconvenient for you to understand strategically. All right. And this is not the fault of the people that have a good intention in mind. The reality is that it's not just about the disinformation, misinformation game, you know, your mind is being competed with, you know, competed for by the individuals that, you know, Bob, I know. That's not even the point. The point is that you're engaged in things that are meant to keep you from the real culprits one way or another. And this goes across the board. It's not just, you know, okay, if I avoid the big corporate information streams, I'll be okay. It doesn't work that way. You got to question everything. You got to actually break down everything for yourself, because the absolute absurdly huge, voluminous levels of layers to this onion are without question so elaborate that I don't think any average individual has the ability, to successfully navigate through all of it just to get at the core reality. Indeed, you know, the idea of the Matrix, a lot of people bring that up all the time. I think they misinterpret it. But then again, you know, again, I'm the odd duck, aren't I? Let's keep breaking it, though. I like doing that. Let's keep breaking the control grid. Let's keep breaking the psychological limitations that are prescribed for you to what? Fall into certain categories. So even if you think you're part of the opposition, they can control that too. Don't worry. We'll get there. One way or another, but still you've been shunted off into another direction, a control valve release from the pressure that the truly in charge, you know, the owners of the system, that they would actually worry about if that pressure legitimately built up an actual organic reaction to them without it being prescribed and controlled from the onset. Yeah, that would be a strategic problem for those that are attempting to maintain their stranglehold, okay, over the natural evolution that could take place psychologically, emotionally, spiritually, whatever you want to call it, among the people. And the technocracy that has been arrayed against us here, and we've been invited into, right, through the very sort of retail and giving away of free things, like here's your free profile on whatever, all of that. I got news for you. It's a trap. And it's just that simple. The organic reality that you have concerns, that you have a life that has value, all of that. Well, that's not the business of the people that want to monetize everything. That's not the business of those that use the technology as they see fit in order to gather up the products and all of the byproducts of the product, which is you, your information, all of that. And sure, we've talked about the social credit system before, but again, as these things emerge and as people are being told, look, you're going to need a passport. You're going to need to be able to show proof. Here's your digital ID for this and that and the third thing. I think they fail to recognize what they're being invited into, under the guise of convenience, under the guise of safety, under the guise of streamlining your healthcare, which is really sick management for profit. At least it is in America anyway. Sick management for profit and all of that. And meanwhile, try to opt out. Try to opt out. See how that works for you. In some places, your experiences may vary, but I got to tell you, there's a lot of learned individuals who are out there trying to serve their communities who are being stopped because they will not comply. And got to tell you, we need to have discussions about that. We need to reveal that. We need to find a way so that, look, the system, it relies on us, but it doesn't care about how we exist within it. And I say the answer is to exist outside of it as best you can. And maybe, just maybe, occasionally, there's ways to take back some of that control. Because look, a new world order is something that we hear about a lot, and there's plenty of theories about it and exactly what the visions are for those individuals. And some of them publish them right out front. Schwab and the rest of them talking about what it is they're going to do. Literally making me sick at the John F. Kennedy School of Politics, right? Yeah, they tell you in some ways, Gates, all of them, what it is they have in mind for sure. But an actual world order that, again, is more based upon the supremacy, honestly, of the individual's right to be and to be in the way that they choose. I don't know, man. It's the thing that's always lost in these equations, one way or another, because you don't know better than the technocracy. You don't know better than the academics. You don't know better anything, children. This is the way of the world, isn't it? Well, I say no. Anyway, Jeffrey, I know that I just went through a bit of a rant there, but you inspired it, my friend. And I got to tell you that the condition of, and make no mistake, by the way, if you can understand what we're saying and you're not in Canada, you're not in the United States, or you are, it matters very little. Either way, you are being affected. I take that point from my first hour guest as absolutely salient. You are affected whether you have signed on for this or not. So anyway, Jeffrey Matt, in closing, because we're almost up against the hour, and in the next hour, I'll be talking to veteran journalist Albert Lanier. And as per usual, no script there, so we'll see where it goes. But Jeffrey, what message would you like people to take away? I mean, you talked about the corporation, so we've covered that, at least for today. A whole discussion could be had on it. And I do mean the corporation that you're dealing with up there, the corporation that I'm dealing with down here. Geographically separated, by paperwork, I guess. Doesn't matter. We're part of the human family, brother. And there's a lot of work to be done if we want to be as we are meant to be. And apologies to Shakespeare. Jeffrey Matt, what should we leave people with for the segment of the Chuck O'Chelly Show that you've done with me today?
It's a little story. The story is... it's about all the nations of the world over the last several decades have incurred enormous debt. The U.S., Canada, all over the world, all the Western countries, incredible, incredible debt. Now, we can listen to the news. We can listen to all the shows and everything. But just like everybody who's had a job, there's what the boss wants you to do, and then there's what's on paper, and then there's what's the action plan going to be. And my final message to everybody to understand is that you're not dealing with your individual nation. You're dealing with one system. It's the Federal Reserve System, which resides in the United States. And that Federal Reserve System is going through a international global bankruptcy. That bankruptcy needs to be managed correctly. We can't have millions of people running around the street, homeless, without food, angry, and possibly with guns. So we have to roll out a way to stop the insanity from happening. It's called the social credit system. It's called the vaccine passport technology, not the vaccine, not the medical. It's the technology so that when they pull the plug on all the banks around the world and bankruptcies occur or banks freeze up, now they have a system, technology, to say, okay, well, we'll give you your one bag of flour and this, it's all going to be through your smartphone. So my message to everybody is this whole convoy in the States and in Canada and around the world, the good people showing up and making the sacrifice, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about how the people who run the show create scenarios like a convoy. Now, I'm not talking about the gentleman in the first hour. Or they let it happen organically, then they come in and infiltrate it, and then they dissolve it from the inside. And so then the whole movement went nowhere, but they rolled out 10 new rules. All the cops got OT, and they got triple time. the nurses and everybody got triple time. That's not a solution. The solution is understanding you don't have a country. It's based on you're inside of a Federal Reserve system, which is global. That's why you have federal police, federal emergency management, Federal Reserve, FEMA. You got federal. That's where the source of the problem is. If you want to change the situation, you got to know what it is. And so you have to move away from that and then accept the idea, the concept that the major global economic event of some kind is going to occur, and the technology to hold everybody back and to prevent everybody from being able to do anything they want and take action and come together is the social credit system, which is the technology of the vaccine passport. And if you want that people's convoy to be successful, those men and women who make all this sacrifice, they need to understand this or it'll fail too. And that's really what this is about. And so if he's got stories to bring to Congress or to the people, he needs to explain, or whoever's involved there needs to explain and share the story, not just tell the leadership and the leadership comes up with some script. It has to come from the people to understand that to have your nation, to have your own home, you have to have your own currency. We don't have, the American people don't have their own currency. They have the U.S. dollar, which is the Federal Reserve. You can't audit your own bank. You can't do anything. That's why everybody bends over at the TSA checkpoints and takes their shoes off and their underpants off and takes off their, you know, everything. And then we got to check, got to make sure you don't have a bazooka in your armpit. And so now that, and you know, how many people have they caught in 20 years, right? So it's almost zero. I think it's actually close to, I heard once it was actually zero people in 20 years. So
well, Jeffrey, here's the thing about this, what you're talking about now. And I don't mean to give it short shrift because it is important, but we got to start somewhere. And these guys are starting somewhere. And I appreciate that. I mean, look, you can't solve these things overnight. We didn't get here overnight into the circumstance where we know that this is not the way it's supposed to be. So, you know, the problem is that you got to start somewhere. And I don't object to what it is they're after and what it is they're going to have to learn as they engage. I don't object to the fact that people need to raise up their voices and be heard to begin with in order to even start the conversation about how to roll this stuff back. And it took hundreds of years to get here. I mean, the Federal Reserve, what you're talking about there, it's been instituted now for it's almost 110 years now, right? The third centralized bank. And these are the problems. These are the core issues for sure. But you got to start somewhere. And I say, no matter where it is you start, if enough of us raise up our voices enough and in the right direction, this is how things will be accomplished.